Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Connie reading Midland Reporter-Telegram for Thursday, April 9th, 2020. Hospital. Myers. We're committed to keeping staff working. By Caitlin Randall. Following reports, Medical Center Hospital in Odessa and Odessa Regional Medical Center have opted to furlough a combined 90 employees. Midland Memorial Hospital CEO Russell Myers said they would be very thoughtful before taking a similar measure and are committed to keeping staff working as much as possible. Television station KOSA reported Tuesday that 30 employees have been furloughed at MCH and 60 employees have been furloughed at ORMC. Myers said during a brief press briefing Wednesday morning that MMH has seen profit losses of about 15% since elective surgeries were canceled, and they've lost about $1 million in collections just for the month of March. He said they're expecting to see an even higher reduction in revenue over the next month. Most employees who work in areas of the hospital that have been shut down have been moved to other areas of the hospital, Myers said, but some employees have lost hours or have been asked to take paid time off. He said it is likely more employees will be asked to take paid time off as elective surgeries continue to not be scheduled. Will we consider doing more of that and more intentionally? I think we'll have to the longer this goes on, he said. In a statement to the Reporter-Telegram, Myers said it is not uncommon throughout the year to ask employees to go home when there is not enough work to do. When that occurs, hourly employees are given the opportunity to take the time without pay or to use their accrued paid time off, he said. He said the hospital does not keep track of how many employees have been asked to take time off because the decision is made department by department. The hospital is committed to keeping staff working as much as possible, Myers said. He said many employees who are not doing their regular work have been reassigned to the labor pool to handle duties associated with managing COVID-19. Some also have been reassigned to answering calls to 68 Nurse and sewing cloth masks for coworkers and patients. As the pandemic continues, we will continue to assess the best options for matching our costs to our reduced revenues while keeping in mind our commitment to our workforce and our need to be prepared for a surge in activity once the current restrictions are eased, he said. Myers said during Wednesday's briefing that the hospital will need the employees impacted by surgery cancellations as soon as elective surgeries can be scheduled again, and that will factor into whether they consider furloughing employees. This will end. We will go back to work. We need our expert people ready to go when we can turn that switch back on. so we're going to be very thoughtful before we do anything that dramatically impacts our workers," he said. Animal shelter updates, procedures during pandemic, by J.C. Lewis. Officials with the City of Midland's Animal Service Department have modified operations at the Midland Animal Shelter while continuing to help animals. Leah Lewis, Animal Service Manager, wrote in an email that in order to safeguard residents and staff, city staff have minimized the number of people in the building. Appointments are scheduled for owner surrenders, reclaims, adoptions, vouchers, and other necessary services, Lewis said. No pets have been surrendered due to the coronavirus concerns, but some pets have been surrendered due to their owners losing their jobs or having to move or being unable to take care of them, Lewis said. The animal shelter works with Midland Animal Shelter Adoptables Rescues, as well as other rescues, to help animals be fostered and adopted. Lewis said fewer people have been coming to the shelter to foster pets during this time. If a person needs to schedule an appointment or has any animal-related questions or concerns, they can call the shelter at 685-7420, and we will be happy to help, Lewis said. Lewis said that if a person becomes sick with the coronavirus, they should have a plan in place to have someone care for their pet. In the event a citizen becomes sick or hospitalized, they should have a plan in place to ensure their pets are cared for during their absence, she said. It is recommended that citizens have a plan in place for any emergency, not just during a pandemic. Lewis said that citizens should contact a veterinarian regarding COVID-19 questions related to their pets. The Animal Services Department has a placement partner program that officials continue to work with at this time to help pets in the shelter to be put into foster homes, Lewis said. Animal adoptions are still happening at the Midland Animal Shelter, and requirements to adopt a pet can be found at www.midlandtexas.gov/145/adopt-a-pet. Animal shelter phones are still answered from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Lewis also stated that field operations are dependent upon the nature and priority of the concern. An on-call officer is available 24/7 for priorities. For assistance after hours, call the animal shelter and leave a message. The Midland Police Department's non-emergency number can be contacted at 685-7170, and they will notify the on-call officer. Energy. TexOGA's Staples responds to Pioneer CEO, by Stuart Doran. The census is clear. We need market-neutral actions and regulatory certainty, not a fundamental shift in our market-based system. This is part of what Texas Oil and Gas Association's president, Tom Staples, wrote as a response to Pioneer CEO Scott Sheffield, who 1 week earlier called on President Donald Trump to intervene in the Saudi Arabia-Russian oil price conflict and said the largest companies like ExxonMobil control advocacy groups like the American Petroleum Institute and the Texas and Oil Gas Association. Staples wrote in an email to the Reporter-Telegram on Tuesday that Texans do not want to be disadvantaged. The announced capital expenditure cuts confirm the market is reacting sufficiently to the need to curtail production and regulatory intervention is not needed. Now is a time for our industry to rely on measures that will help the most during these extraordinarily difficult times, and our members are continuing to develop these situations. Staples also wrote that Texoga's membership is diverse, with larger and smaller companies involved in every sector of the oil and natural gas industry: exploration and production, transportation and storage, refining, and a host of service companies. As with most larger organizations, it is not uncommon to have differing opinions on a variety of issues, and we greatly respect our members who may have a different view, Staples wrote. Texoga's position on proration was absolutely and clearly determined by a wide variety of independent producers and integrated companies representing all production areas of the state, who overwhelmingly opposed proration as a remedy to the current situation. Sheffield told CNBC last month that opposition to a settlement with the Saudis from the companies like ExxonMobil threaten the future existence of independent companies. Sheffield also said that joining ExxonMobil in its opposition to a settlement was the American Petroleum Institute and the Texas Oil and Gas Association. He said ExxonMobil controls API and Texoga. As you know, there's about 74 public independents. There's only going to be about 10 left at the end of 2021 that have decent balance sheets. The rest become ghosts or zombies, Sheffield told CNBC. The comments illustrate the differences between operators, large and small, who say the production cutbacks and budget cuts being seen are sufficient to address the industry's woes, and those like Pioneer and Parsley Energy, which believe government action would ensure more uniformity and stability in the industry's reaction to the combination of demand destruction from the novel coronavirus, COVID-19, and the anticipated flood of new oil as Saudi Arabia and Russia battle for market share. While both opponents and proponents agree that unilateral action by Texas energy producers would not have an impact on the market, more proponents say Texas could show global leadership and influence international action to reduce production levels and prevent even more significant damage to the global industry. Mella McEwen contributed to this report. Local and State Roundup from Staff and Wire Reports. Floridans die in I-20 wreck this week. Two Floridans died in the three-vehicle wreck on Interstate 20 on Monday afternoon, according to the information from the City of Midland. The city reported Wednesday that the driver was identified as 55-year-old Mark Thomason and the passenger was identified as 62-year-old Beth Thomason. The city also reported that next of kin has been notified. During the course of the investigation, it was determined that the pickup was traveling westbound in the outside lane at an extremely slow speed because of a traffic jam near the La Mesa overpass. The garbage truck was just behind it and was also traveling slowly. A Kenworth truck tractor also was westbound in the outside lane approaching the much slower traffic. The driver attempted to make a left-hand lane change to avoid impact as he used his loud, audible air horn, but still crashed into the garbage truck's back left corner, according to the release. This caused the garbage truck to lurch forward and hit the pickup. The Floridans were traveling in the Kenworth. City reports fifth sales tax drop in 6 months. The city's sales tax collection dropped for the fifth time in the past 6 months. That was the case this week when the City of Midland learned its collection in April was down 11.36% year over year. That decline follows declines of 20.06% in March, 11.31% in February, 9.41% in January, and 3.72% in November. The 4.026 million collected was still the second most raised in any April in Midland's history. The city also reported Wednesday that it is 6.54% behind last year's record pace. It is worth remembering that the collection is from February sales, so the impact of the current coronavirus pandemic isn't likely to be felt until next month's report. Still, after 7 months, the city is showing a year-to-date collection of $32.155 million. That amount is actually higher than the entire fiscal year of 2011. Ector County reports 4 new cases of coronavirus, total up to 34. The Ector County Health Department reported 4 new cases of coronavirus, COVID-19, Wednesday, according to the ECHD website, raising the total to 34 in Ector County. ECHD reported Tuesday about the first death in the county from coronavirus on Monday. There have been 266 negative cases, 97 pending cases, and 397 people tested in Ector County. The total people tested doesn't include those tested at private labs. The health district doesn't know how many people in Ector County have recovered. The Medical Center Health System President and CEO Russell Tippin said 4 confirmed patients are in critical care on ventilators and 5 patients are in the isolation area of the hospital. MCH reported 86 negative, 44 pending tests, and 9 patients under investigation at the hospital. Odessa Regional Medical Center President and CEO Stacy Brown said ORMC has tested 87 people with 9 positive, 65 negative, and 13 pending tests. 4 people are under investigation at ORMC. Ector County by the numbers tested for COVID-19. Confirmed cases, 34. Days since first case was confirmed, 12. By gender, male, 14, female, 20. Age groups, 0 to 19, 0. 20 to 29, 5. 30 to 39, 7. 40 to 49, 6. 50 to 59, 10. 60 to 69, 5. 70 to 79, 1. Source of exposure, travel-related, 5. Person-to-person, community exposure, 20. Unknown, 9. Private testing is 24. Public testing is 10. Austin. Lawsuit. Abbott overstepped his authority with bond order. Governor Greg Abbott overstepped his constitutional authority when he issued an order prohibiting bond for some criminal suspects during the coronavirus pandemic, according to a lawsuit filed Wednesday. Meanwhile, the count of residents at a San Antonio nursing home who have died of the virus rose to 10, and officials said a majority of the people who have killed by the coronavirus in Houston have been African Americans. Abbott's March 29th order, which prohibits bond for anyone arrested on charges involving physical violence or who have had past convictions for violent offenses, came as state officials worked to mitigate the spread of COVID-19 in jails. The lawsuit says the order unlawfully tries to remove discretion from judges about who can get bond. The American Civil Liberties Union of Texas and others filed the lawsuit in state district court in Travis County on behalf of Harris County misdemeanors, magistrate judges, criminal defense organizations, and the NAACP Texas. The lawsuit says since social distancing is nearly impossible in jails, stakeholders have been working to reduce jail populations in ways consistent with both state law and the safety of the community. The Texas Attorney General's office didn't immediately comment. There have been more than 9,000 300 cases of COVID-19 in Texas and 177 deaths. For most people, the new coronavirus causes mild or moderate symptoms such as fever and cough that clear up in 2 to 3 weeks. For some, especially older adults and people with existing health problems, it can cause more severe illness, including pneumonia. 10 residents at the Southeast Nursing and Rehabilitation Center in San Antonio have died after a coronavirus outbreak infected most of the people living there, officials said Wednesday. That means more than half of 20 reported coronavirus-related deaths in the city are linked to the nursing home. The most recent victims were two women, one in her 70s and the other in her 80s, city officials said in a statement.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, April 9, 2020. Dawson Geophysical, Flowtech, donate hand sanitizer. Midland's Dawson Geophysical teamed up with Flowtech and investment banker Tudor, Pickering, Holt & Company to donate nearly 400 gallons of hand sanitizer to Midland County Emergency Management and Midland Memorial Hospital. Flowtech, a Houston-based oil field chemical company, redirected some of its chemical productions to blend and package 12,000 gallons of hand sanitizer to donate to communities and organizations in need in Houston, Midland, and Oklahoma. The company was joined in this effort by Tudor, Pickering, Holt & Company and Dawson Geophysical, which transported the first load of 2,500 gallons of hand sanitizer from Oklahoma to Houston and Midland last weekend. CRMWD closes camping, picnic areas at lakes. Based on directives issued by Governor Greg Abbott and in an effort to promote public and staff health and safety during the COVID-19 pandemic, camping and picnic areas at all Colorado River Municipal Water District Park areas are closed to the public effective 5 p.m. Thursday. Group shelter pavilions remain closed to the public. The closure is in effect for all CRMWD recreational areas at Lake J.B. Thomas, E.V. Spence Reservoir, and O.H. Ivy Reservoir. Boat ramps remain open at the following locations. Third-party operated park concessionaires located at E.V. Spence and O.H. Ivy Reservoirs are open at their discretion. Concessionaire contact information is available on the CRMWD website at www.crmwd.org/recreation. For more information, please go to www.crmwd.org or contact us at 432-267-6341. Grocery store hours during coronavirus. Albertsons Market, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., 1002 Andrews Highway. For shoppers 60 plus, 7 to 9 a.m. Monday and Thursday, 3317 North Midland Drive. For shoppers 60 plus, 7 to 9 a.m. Tuesday and Thursday. HEB, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Customer 60 plus. Orders can be called in 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 833-397-0080. Groceries will be delivered by Favor Delivery. For more information, go to newsroom.heb.com. Market Street, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. For shoppers 60 plus, 7 to 9 a.m. Monday and Thursday. Walmart, 7 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. Today in history. Today is Thursday, April 9, the 100th day of 2020. There are 266 days left in the year. Today's highlight. On April 9, 1942, during World War II, some 75,000 Philippine and American defenders on Bataan surrendered to Japanese troops, who forced the prisoners into what became known as the Bataan Death March. Thousands died or were killed en route. On this date, in 1959, NASA presented its first seven astronauts, Scott Carpenter, Gordon Cooper, John Glenn, Gus Grissom, Wally Schirra, Alan Shepard, and Donald Slayton. In 1963, British statesman Winston Churchill was proclaimed an honorary U.S. citizen by President John F. Kennedy. Churchill, unable to attend, watched the proceedings live on television in his London home. In 1968, funeral services, private and public, were held for Martin Luther King Jr. at the Ebenezer Baptist Church and Morehouse College in Atlanta, 5 days after the civil rights leader was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. In 1983, the Space Shuttle Challenger ended its first mission with a safe landing at Edwards Air Force Base in California. In 2003, jubilant Iraqis celebrated the collapse of Saddam Hussein's regime, beheading a toppled statue of their longtime ruler in downtown Baghdad and embracing American troops as liberators. Today's birthdays: country singer Margo Smith is 78, country singer Hal Ketcham is 67, actor Dennis Quaid is 66, country musician Dave Innes, Restless Heart, is 61.
Obituaries: Joni Dale Cotton Dallinger. Joni Dale Cotton Dallinger, 44, of Gardendale, Texas, passed away Sunday, April 5, 2020. An outdoor memorial service to honor the life of Joni will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, April 10, 2020, at Crestview Baptist Church, Midland, Texas, where she was an active member. Due to COVID-19 regulations, those attending will be asked to remain in their cars. Joni was born January 15, 1976, in Andrews, Texas, residing in Kermit, Texas. Joni married Damon Dallinger on June 24, 2006. They have one son, Zayden. As a family, they enjoyed camping and taking cruises together. Joni is survived and will be missed by her husband Damon and son Zayden of Gardendale, Texas, parents James and Bobby Dale Cotton of Kermit, Texas, sister Jamie Armstrong and husband James of Adler, Oklahoma. She is also survived by several nephews, nieces, aunts, uncles, and cousins. Joni loved her family very much. Joni is preceded in death by her grandparents, B.L. Cotton and Corin Cotton Spikes, and Dale Wagner and Bobby Wagner Sheffield. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Speaking Up for Those Who Can't, a nonprofit organization for dog rescue and shelter. You can find further information on their Facebook page. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Ricky Joe Hamilton. Ricky Joe Hamilton passed away in Midland, Texas, on April 2, 2020. Ricky was born on March 16, 1955, in Midland, Texas, to Martha Helen McNeese. Ricky lived most of his life in Midland. At the age of 14 years old, he was adopted by Wesley T. and Katrina Hamilton and moved to Bellinger until he was 17 years old. At that time, he moved back to Midland, where he started driving a truck. He married Geraldine Ingalls in 1973. They had one son. He then married Marilyn Holliday in 1979. There were two children by this marriage. He is preceded in death by his mother, grandparents, Ira L. and Estelle McNeese, his adopted parents, his wife, Marilyn Hamilton, two sons, David and Cassidy Hamilton, one brother, Danny Hamilton, and one sister, Molly Dean. He is survived by one son, Wesley Joe Hamilton of Sacramento, California, one daughter, Della Hill of Midland, one brother, Rodney Hamilton of Midland, four sisters, Vicki Rogers of Crockett, Texas, Carol Stringer of Timpson, Texas, Patricia Clark of Victoria, Texas, and Linda Bloomers of Cookeville, Tennessee. Three grandsons, three granddaughters, one uncle, and several nieces and nephews. There will be no services at his request. Any donations may be made to the American Diabetes Association or to Mark. Arrangements are under the direction of Nailey Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Death notices. Saul Perez Siniceros. Saul Perez Siniceros, 82 of Midland, passed away Monday, April 5th, 2020. The family will have a memorial service at a later date. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. He is survived by his wife, Edenia Siniceros, son, Michael Siniceros, daughters, Jacqueline Siniceros, Virginia Dunn, and Lenora Placentio, two brothers, one sister, seven grandchildren, and two great-grandchildren.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, April 9th, 2020. Front page. A New Way to Easter. Sunday Celebration at Drive-In by Sam Waller. S-W-A-L-L-E-R at OAOA.com. Some Permian Basin churches are thinking outside the box in regards to conducting Easter services in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. With the assistance of Big Sky Drive-In, churches will be able to conduct services Sunday at the drive-in theater. The theater's honored that we have a facility that we can share for the people of both of these towns. We've got some Odessa churches and some Midland churches that we can share with the churches and honor God this Easter, Big Sky owner Sam Kirkland said. We're looking forward to the time we get past this pandemic we're in, but we're just thankful that we have the facilities that we can do this with. Mid-Cities Community Church will conduct evening services on Saturday and Sunday using a multimedia presentation that will make full use of the theater's capabilities. We won't have anything live, Mid-Cities Senior Pastor Daniel Stevens said. Everything will be produced. The message and stories and testaments will be through the screen and the radio. We feel like the sense of gathering, even in the cars, will create a sense of hope for our people. Stevens said gates will open at 8 p.m. each night for the Mid-City services, which will begin after sundown and last right at an hour. It's very significant for us, and I know for the other churches taking part, Stevens said, of being able to hold the services. The Christian church historically has had a difficult time and weathered many difficult times throughout the last 2,000 years. This is probably not comparable to some of the challenges the church has had to overcome in the past. We are grateful to get to worship, grateful to Big Sky for allowing us to worship there and working with our community leaders to keep people safe, but also offer hope, which is what we believe. There are medical concerns that are very legitimate, and we will abide by those. We also understand the very real emotional need people have, and this is such a great way to meet that. Kirkland said Big Sky's three-screen layout will enable congregations to conduct services while still following the Center for Disease Control's social distancing restrictions. "We're under pretty strict guidelines to be able to do this," he said. "We have to space the people apart. The drive-in is lined off like a parking lot. We're going to start out by having cars skip a space. That's why some churches are going to take more than one screen, depending on the crowds that they have. We'll skip spaces, and there'll be like 14 feet between each car to make sure there's a lot of spacing. If we run out of room, we'll have to start filling in the gaps, but we can hold a lot of cars out there. People are not going to be allowed to get out of their vehicles. They can roll the windows down and wave at their neighbors, but we're under pretty strict requirements on that end. We can't have the restrooms open. That's the part that might be the hardest. We're recommending to these churches that it's Easter service, and we'd like for you to get your message over to your people and celebrate God, but let's keep it short." Kirkland said the churches are able to make full use of the theater's projection system. "The ones that are doing video, we have equipment that will play their DVDs, and we can put them up on the screen," he said. "In the case of a couple of churches that had DVDs, we converted them over to digital. We have the equipment to do that. Most of them are going to be DVDs. They look really good on the screen. They're not quite as good as the Blu-ray. Blu-ray is like 1,020 or 1,080 DPI, dots per inch, and DVDs are like 700. Either one is going to look good on the screen. Most of the churches are producing that for us, and we have the equipment to run it through our projectors. Audio for services will be delivered over one of three FM radio bands. Each of those screens has its own FM radio station," Kirkland said. "If you're watching something on that screen, you can tune in to that FM station, and they'll be able to broadcast it over that system." Kirkland said, "While the system is mostly automated, the services will require a little more involvement of the theater staff. Normally, when we run a movie, we have everything on what we call a playlist," he said. "We put it in and tell it to play this stuff at this time, and it does it by itself. The way we're doing this, we'll have to physically do it for it. We'll have to start it and maintain it, but this equipment that we have is pretty advanced." EOC says reporting will improve, by Michael Merlo, M-M-E-R-L-O at OAOA.com. During Wednesday's virtual hospital press conference, Ector County Health Department Emergency Operations Center officials said that they will do better to communicate with hospitals and the public relating to the coronavirus. The Ector County Emergency Operations Center website shows as of 1:56 p.m. Wednesday that there are 34 confirmed cases of coronavirus, 266 negative cases, 97 pending lab results, and 397 total tested. One patient has died in Ector County. Medical Center Hospital President and CEO Russell Tippin reported that MCH has 17 positives, 86 negatives, 45 pending, 4 in critical care, and 5 on another floor. Tippin said there are 9 persons of interest in the hospital. Odessa Regional Medical Center President Stacy Brown reported that ORMC has tested 87 people with 9 positive, 65 negatives, and 13 pending. She reported that they have 5 in-house, 4 under investigation, and 1 confirmed case that was able to get off the ventilator. ECHD Director Brandy Garcia addressed some of the problems the EOC has had communicating to the public by navigating the different hospital numbers, and said that they are communicating to try and make sure information is released in a timely manner. "This is new," she said. "We're all trying to keep that communication, and we're all trying to come up with different procedures and things with the health department and with the hospital." Garcia said that the lack in communication between the hospitals, the Ector County Health Department, and EOC is something they are aware of and something they are working on improving. She said that they are navigating the different reporting processes that the hospitals use. Regarding the lack of communication to the public about Ector County's first COVID-19 related death on Monday, County Commissioner Dale Childress said that one of the things we want to do is, after we get the information, we want to get it to the news media. "Obviously, that was a newsworthy event, and so we're going to try and do that. If it's during business hours, within an hour or so, and if it comes in late at night, we'll put it out pretty early the next morning. So I think that's the one area where we can certainly do better." Garcia said that for deaths, the health department can work on procedures where we will release that as we get confirmation. Childress said that many procedures are changing because they are ramping up as each case comes in. They are training more people every day and are looking for more people to work on the phones. When asked if the EOC would have press conference to give information, Childress said that they would consider anything, but said they are not using the City of Odessa Public Information Officer to release information, saying the daily briefings were working pretty well. "This is the first press conference that the Ector County Health Department has been to in around a week." Childress said that somebody with the EOC or myself or the health department, yes, every day we'll make sure we get with you regarding coronavirus information. ORMC Chief Medical Officer Rohit Sarvanan said the public can get answers to questions about social distancing, what symptoms to check for, and what to do if sick at tinyul.com/UUL9VAR. He also said that the Texas dashboard for cases in Texas is located at tinyul.com/R2TLJSW. Sarvanan also showed a new Stanford report on the current amount of confirmed cases in Texas. He showed that the trajectory is community-specific and that the rise in cases is looking like it will happen at the end of April or the beginning of May in Odessa. He mentioned previous comments regarding social distancing and said that by the community following 50% of social distancing protocol, the peak of cases will drop and allow the health systems to keep up with the virus. In other news, CBS 7 reported that MCH and ORMC have furloughed around 100 employees. Nicole Forbes works on making a face mask Wednesday at Complex Community Federal Credit Union. Employees have made over 1,000 face masks to donate to area hospitals and have been working on them since last Monday. Michael Bauer, Odessa American. Goliad has meal pickup down to a science, by Ruth Campbell, rcampbell@oaoa.com. Since March 17th, the Ector County ISD School Nutrition Department has served 348,687 meals to the children of Odessa, and it's all being done at the acceptable social distance of 6 feet apart. Brandon Reyes, director of the School Nutrition Department, has been trying to get out to every site And Wednesday, he was at Goliad Elementary School, which he said has the distribution down to a science. ECISD began providing meals after campuses were closed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The 348,687 figure is as of April 7th. Reyes noted that about 55% of ECISD's 34,000 students live in poverty. Breakfast and lunch is provided to any child 18 and under who comes to one of the campuses. The department informs people on social media and its website of any sites that have stopped serving. Waivers now allow a parent to pick up meals without a child being present. We have that posted on our social media sites, what documents we can use to validate. But even with my team validating those documents, we have to maintain the social distancing and protect ourselves. So I think that's a wonderful flexibility they've allowed us to offer, because it is difficult for some parents, Reyes said. Hours are 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. There's a definite need, Reyes said. We opened up as many sites as we could originally so that we would be able to reach the widest group possible. Some school districts localized it to a handful of sites. We're not doing the bus routes. We're not doing anything like that. We're doing sites that we can maintain control of during meal service and reach the widest group possible. Meal distribution requires a lot of prep work, so adjustments have to be made on the fly sometimes. Austin and Zavala Elementary Schools are no longer meal sites. The move was made at Austin due to staffing and low turnout, and Zavala is being transitioned to a child care site for local medical personnel, a tweet from the school nutrition department said. Reyes said that they try to get the word out about changes as quickly as possible. The department will again provide meals for the weekend starting Thursday. With Friday being a holiday, meals for the weekend will be distributed Thursday. USDA and TDA are working through the language, and I'm pretty confident that they're going to come through. So right now, I can actually serve the weekend meals. But the problem is, we won't get the federal reimbursement for those meals. And so if we serve 20,000 meals a day, 40,000 meals over a week, that's roughly about $50,000 to $55,000 in food costs that the government right now allows us to serve. But we may not be able to recoup the cost for some of those meals, so you kind of take that hit. But we're very confident that they're going to come out with retroactively allowing us to serve the weekend meals because they recognize the need, Reyes said. USDA is the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and TDA is the Texas Department of Agriculture. Reyes noted that the district meals are one way for families to extend their home food inventories at a time when people are being told to minimize trips to the grocery store. I personally believe it's much safer for our family members because our folks set the meals on the table, the family pulls up, they get out, we're able to maintain that social distance, Reyes said. Families drive up and signal how many children they have, and nutrition staff at that school pulls breakfast and lunch from the holding area, puts it on a table, and the parent gets out of the vehicle, grabs the meals, and goes on their way. The table is wiped off after every pickup. In the grocery store, despite people's best efforts, they still cross paths. Plus, he said, more and more grocery store workers are being identified as positive for COVID-19. We're very cognizant of that as well, so we're just trying to maintain a delivery process that is safe for everybody, Reyes said. He added that the community has been very positive, understanding and patient with the school nutrition department. They understand we're doing the best we can to help everybody out, So they've been very receptive and patient with us, and so we're very grateful, Reyes said. At each of the sites, there are systems in place, so the food preparation goes on as normal. The only thing that's different is we have 3 to 4 individuals working at a given time, because, as you are aware, doing meal prep, we also have to maintain that social distance, so it gets a little tricky on how we do that, Reyes said. He added that he has authorized his team to work as many hours as they need to in order to make sure they are able to maintain that social distance and get the meals ready to provide to the community. Children are provided with the meals they would normally get if they were in school. Reyes said Goliad has the food distribution down to a science in the kitchen and the way the outside distribution is set up. Joanne Mendoza, ECISD school nutrition manager, said the employees are a team and a family. It's hard, especially that they want us to be even 6 feet away from the people we work with. Like I said, we're a family, so for us to be that far apart, we know we're all scared, but at the same time, we try to make it as a joke, like 6 feet apart, remember? Mendoza said. She added that she is missing a little piece of her team, which is helping at another school. There are usually 5 team members altogether, including Mendoza. Even though it's a scary time, Mendoza said she feels like they are making a difference. We can't help everybody by taking it to their house, but we can make a difference by just helping one. That's the way we look at it, she said. Megan Qualls, who drove up for a meal pickup, said she homeschools her children. I think it's great because a lot of people don't have to worry about where their breakfast and lunch is going to come from, Qualls said. Ben Powell, Odessa American.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.